I have the honor, really it is an honor, and the privilege to sometimes go and visit with people when they're sick. And I got to see Shirley on Friday, and what a blessing she is to this church and to this world. And I thank God for her and continue to pray for her and her family. All the concerns that are heard by this church are really first and foremost heard by God. The time that we gather to have this time of prayer, it's not about us, is it? We go to God because there's no place else that we can go. We go to God because we know that God knows our concerns more deeply than we do. We know that when God hears our concerns, that doesn't go off into the air, or doesn't fall on deaf ears. It goes to the one who is creator of all things and lover of all of us. And when we bring our concerns to him, we know that those concerns are always answered. Maybe not in the way that we would like, but always they are heard, and God is always at work in our lives. Reminds me of our scripture today, where Paul is encountering a moment where he is in a crisis, and he's gone to God, and he hasn't received the answer that he thought he might. And come with me into that scripture today, 2 Corinthians, the second book, second letter that Paul wrote to his friends in the church in Corinth. And listen, because God always speaks through the Holy Scriptures, and God will speak to you through this word today. Therefore, says Paul, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Jesus is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Join me in prayer. God, we give you thanks for this word that comes to us from you. We pray that it will fill our hearts, fill our minds. And as we discuss this word, that everything that is said and done in this time brings glory and honor to your name and your name only. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we talked a little about the church. Why do we need to go to church? And really we talked about it being the fact that church is not about us. Church is not about what we get out of this hour that we spend together, or the time during the week where we might gather as Christ's body for various activities. No, the church is all about Jesus, and it's not about us. We are not the audience, and up here is not the stage where I perform for you. No, I am with you in being not the audience of church, but the participants of church, the actors on the stage. And together, we as the church are giving glory and honor to God. God is the audience receiving our praise, receiving our worship. And when we do that, we realize that, you know, maybe the songs aren't what we want to hear. Maybe the sermons aren't as good as they could be. Maybe the time that I spend together, it seems like I didn't get anything out of it this week. Those are the moments when it's the most important to remember it wasn't about you. It wasn't about me or the way I give a sermon. It wasn't about the songs. It was about being part of God's great plan for this world. And we are participating in that. We are the performers for the audience who is our God. And when we have that kind of attitude, that catches on. That those personal preferences that we have, we know that we can put those aside and we can concentrate on doing our very best to be in worship together as God, as Christ's body here in this place. All of those other things, are they really that important compared to the great worship that we give to our God? That's pretty cool. That's world-changing type of worship. When we realize that we're not worshiping ourselves, we're not worshiping our preferences, we're not worshiping our style. We're worshiping the one who receives that in so many different languages, in so many different interpretations. Even Presbyterian worship is acceptable and pleasing to God. I gotta stop picking on the Presbyterians. Why don't you stop me? Are all of that, God receives that wonderful praise. And so we come to today's question of, well, I have a problem in my life. I need to receive healing. There is something in my life that is out of order, that is not at ease. It is diseased or diseased. There's something in my life, my personal experience, that I need to receive from God something. I need to receive from God a miracle. I need to receive from God a blessing. I need to receive from God a healing. But even that moment where we need something from God is really not about us. It's not about what we get from God. It's what God is pleased to give to us. So that when we receive that, it's not for us to keep to ourselves. I got it. I got healed. Every single example in Scripture, even when Jesus tells the people specifically, don't tell anybody about this healing. What does everybody always do? They've got to go and they've got to tell people what happened, because God is so good. And when we do that, we are telling the world how great our God is. Our healing is part of God's glorious plan for the world. For the whole world, not just for us. And God wants to give healing to this world of ours, because our individual sickness, our individual dis-ease and disorder is part of the world's dis-ease and disorder. What we experience in our own personal lives, our own personal bodies, is a symptom of a far greater sickness. Anybody who works in medicine knows there are things that are presenting symptoms that everybody sees, but maybe the disease is something far worse, far more painful, far more deadly. And in this case, it's quite easy. We know the answer. The reason for our dis-ease, our disorder, is because of sin. Am I allowed to say that word in church anymore? Sin? Yes, the sin of a world, the sin of even our own persons, adds to the sin of the world. And disease and disorder and death are invited guests into the human experience. When we were created good. In fact, God said, this people that I've made, they're very good. And then sin entered into the world. And with sin came these invited guests of disease and pain and sickness and death. And when those came into the world, they said, well, I like it here. I'm going to hang out for a while. I'm going to stay with humanity. And ever since, we were not built to die, but we all do, because of that disease within us that all of us have. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages, the price of that sin is death. Now you may think, well, I'm all right. I am forgiven, and I don't sin as much as anybody else. Well, you still sin. And maybe even little babies that come into the world. We know that sometimes even little babies don't make it. And there's nothing that those babies did, but it's the fact that this world is polluted and diseased by that sin. And when we experience healing, whether our mind, our body, our spirit, when we receive that healing, it is the kingdom of God breaking in to that sinful world. That's the kingdom of God coming through and saying, I'm here. I'm with you in the suffering. Come to me and receive true healing. Healing that won't just heal your mind or your body, but will heal your soul. And a healing that will last eternally. So that when you come into my kingdom, my heavenly kingdom, in its fullness, you will be in your fullness, completely and supernaturally restored and made new in God's image. That's what we try to do when we are talking about healing. But we have a pretty narrow view of ourselves. We have a pretty narrow view of God at times. And we tend to think that our healing or our not being healed is a result of ourselves. I didn't pray hard enough. I didn't have enough faith. Other people in my life didn't pray enough for me or for my friend. Those are all up here in our minds. Because we have such a narrow view that we think that our healing is all about us. It's God who is the one who heals. And we are simply participants. Our faith, our prayers, we are participating in the work that Jesus Christ is already doing in the world, bringing that healing that only He can bring. And so let's get it out of our heads that our healing has to do with how strongly we pray or having such a giant, mighty faith. Because Jesus says, if you have the faith of a tiny little mustard seed, you will see amazing things take place. Don't put your faith in yourself. Put your faith in God. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, the one who brings healing to those who ask. Now, there are different types of healings. We always tend to think of healings as instantaneous. Be healed in Jesus' name. Can I smack you in the forehead with that? Be healed. And instantaneously, all of they throw the wheelchair away, the insulin you don't need anymore, they throw all that away. That's not always the case. It's sometimes the case, but it's not always the case. Sometimes the healing that needs to take place isn't within the physical body. Sometimes the healing that needs to take place is within the heart. And your body may continue to suffer. And your body may die. But the healing that you really needed to receive was the healing that was within your very soul. Anybody here ever experienced the pain of a broken soul? Where it seemed like everything in life was meaningless, and you were worthless, and this world was just a test after test after test. Ever experienced that? I certainly have. I've certainly had those moments in my life where I wondered, what in the world, God, are you doing with me? What in the world are you doing with this creation of yours? Why is it so messed up? Very first day after the doctor gave me my insulin and said, you need to take this for the rest of your life, or you're going to die. I'm type 1 diabetic. I took that little needle, they come in a nice little pen nowadays, it's great, and I took the cap off, and there was a little purple thing in there, and I'm looking at that, and I'm like, that's an awfully big needle. Maybe it springs out, like you press the button and the needle zaps you. And so I took that thing and I tried to press it really hard against my belly, and I pressed the button, and insulin went all over the place. And I looked at that, and I looked at the, and I realized there's another cap inside the cap. So after you pull off the first cap, there's another cap inside there, and there's the needle. And when I figured that out, and I have to stab myself with this thing every day for the rest of my life, multiple times. Oh my goodness, my soul was broken, because I realized that my life was never going to be what I thought it was. I thought I'd live forever. I thought I would just continue on until all eternity. And I realized that this body of mine will break down. It's mortal. But that's just the way it is. The true healing that I needed to take place was within my heart, because I was mad at God. How dare you do this to me, O Lord? How dare you bring this pain into my life? But when I was healed in my soul, I realized what a gift it is that I live in a world where I can have a little needle and stick it in my belly and be still alive and able to do the things that God has called me to do. That's where the healing really needed to take place. Would I like to be cured of all my sicknesses? Absolutely. Would I like to see my son healed of all of his problems? Absolutely. I'd give my brain to make his the way it should be. Everybody knows that. I would do that in a heartbeat. But the healing that needs to take place, the true healing, comes when you're able to say, you know what? Even though I'm sick, God is on his throne. And even though this body may wear out, even though I have sickness and disease in my life, I know who has me. So that even if I'm never healed physically, I know that God has me in the palm of his hands and loves me and will never let me go. Like this. And when that happens, you truly have been healed. In Jesus' name. There are still healings that take place. Miraculous, physical healings. Anybody ever actually seen it take place? I have. I've seen people be physically healed with no explanation of science, simply of Jesus Christ powerfully working in that life. I've seen that. But I know that even if I don't see that again, that doesn't mean that God is any less compassionate, any less merciful. It simply means that in that moment, the kingdom of God broke through in that kind of way. I've seen healings take place because doctors and nurses were able to look into our human body and figure out exactly what was wrong and fix the problem. That's a miracle. But that is an inbreaking of God's kingdom into this world. You know what's in here? A little vial of oil. That oil, I got it at the store. It's not something that's miraculous. It's not some magical cure. But we know, don't we, what it represents. A physical sign of a spiritual reality. That God is breaking into this world in a mighty way. And sometimes we need to feel that physically. And so, after worship, as a continuing part of worship, but after our moment when we sing the closing hymn and we get to go our separate ways, I'm going to invite those of you who want to meet up here after service today and continue worship with a time of anointing for healing. If there's a problem with your physical being, we'll pray for that. If there's a problem with your spiritual being, we'll pray for that. If there's a problem with your financial being, your mental being, we'll pray for that. And we will see in this church an inbreaking of the kingdom of God in this place. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.